Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 or representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
It's a weather market. Really, no kidding. We'll talk about it today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Joe Victor of Allendale. Our panelists today are Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Special welcome to her on her first program for the day. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. During the trading day Friday, a weather report based on information about La Nina from NOAA moved the market. Is this kind of volatility an early sign of what's to come as the spring and summer months unfold?
I think it certainly is. Any little glitch on production being better or worse is going to make the market really move. And the NOAA announcement today, before that happened, we weren't doing much. As soon as that happened, wheat and corn took off and drug everything with it.
Pete Manhart, of course, is with Bates Commodities, and Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing.
I think you hit it right on the nail on the head, Todd. This is showing us what kind of market we're in for. Any little thing that shows we may have a threat to the crop is going to be reacted to. There were a couple of other things, good exports and some other things today, though.
And Bridget Chenoweth is with AgriVisor.
Absolutely agree with all these previous comments. I think, you know, we are in that bull market, and the market's going to look for any news that it can spin towards pushing those prices back higher.
Now, as we've been able to piece it together, it appears the National Organic Oceanic Atmospheric Administration released a report calling for a quick change from El Nino to not La Nina, and that some have likened this to the setup which produced the drought of 1988 and correlating to what we refer to as the 18-year binner or weather cycle. The news seems to have had the most impact in the wheat market, where it was coupled with ideas that the wheat-to-corn ratio has moved to a point where wheat would be fed. Is there a time or a price at which you think soft red winter wheat producers who did not price out new crop last fall should?
I think they do need to take a look at pricing some of this new crop out. You know, we're looking at that $5 mark to make some sales, to get some sales put there on the book. Then we're going to kind of hold off and wait and see the direction the corn market takes. Because as long as this corn market continues to rally, we think that it has the potential to lift wheat higher.
You follow the wheat market for AgriVisor. Tell me what you're hearing about production in Illinois and across the United States, hard red and soft red both. Will there be wheat acres that are destroyed in favor of other crops, potentially most likely corn?
I think there will be a small amount. I don't think it's going to be a great amount of acres that's going to be pulled out of production and or ripped up to be, you know, be planted into corn.
Let's talk a little bit about this wheat market and the corn more thoroughly. The wheat futures March contract at a high this week of $4.70 and a half. They're low at $4.47 and three quarters. They were up 7 and three quarters this week at $4.68 in the March. July, the harvest month, at $4.91 and a half, up 8 and a half cents. March corn at $4.18 on the top side, the low at $4.03. Their settlement price at $4.17. They were up 10 and three quarters from last week. In December futures at $4.13 and a quarter. They were up 4 cents. Is there more rally left, do you think, Bill?
In the wheat market?
In the corn market.
In the corn market. I think we certainly could have under the right situation. I think that, you know, as we've been saying all along, you need to take advantage of this market. It's an opportunity that doesn't come along very often, but you have to respect the market, because if we get some threat, actual threat, I mean, this today was just talk. If we get an actual threat to the crop, I think that, you know, we could definitely take it up higher. You got to get some floors in place. We've been pretty aggressive on getting some puts on the corn and putting some kind of floor in there so that we can sit back and relax as we get into the summer.
I definitely think we'll continue to have volatile up and down prices. You mentioned corn was up 10 cents in March for the week. Well, 9.5 of that was today. Earlier in the week, we were down, up, down, up. And any little thing can push it a dime, 20 cents in any given week, and we need to be able to capture that.
We've seen the soy complex leading recently. The wheat took the lead on Friday of this past week. Any reason to believe, do you think, that wheat will continue to lead the market? And if so, for how long? Would it be through the March planting intentions report? Is wheat for some reason in the driver's seat at this point, or is it just a one-day event?
I think it's probably a limited one-day event. I think that the corn market still is at point, and that's really going to drive the direction of the market in both the wheat and the soybean complex.
Taking a look at the soybeans for the day, the March contract there is 768 top, low at 741, a settlement price at $7.67. They were up 17 and three quarters this week. November beans at 816 and a half were up 15 and a half from last week. And March oats will round out the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade at 242 and a half. They were off 8 cents for the week. So when you take a look at across the grains and oilseeds floor at the Chicago Board of Trade, which of the markets is most vulnerable at this time to downside risk?
Well, I think they're all vulnerable, as we saw this week back and forth activity. But the beans fundamentally have no reason to be here. They've been drugged by the others for acreage. So if that March 30th report doesn't show a big shortage of beans, a big less planting of beans, we could see them down. But I'm rarely more fearful of the corn because of the corn acreage. I think the beans, usage-wise and less acres-wise, will take care of themselves. So I'm more worried about the corn backing up $1.50 than beans $1.
Anybody have any different feeling about where those markets are vulnerable?
I would pretty much agree with Pete. I think you got to define downside risk. I think that as far as amount of downside risk, I would say the beans are more vulnerable. But can corn move down 50 cents? Yeah. I mean, I think there's no doubt with the funds, as long as they are. That's the risk in the corn market, is the fund length, I think, right now.
Bill, you suggested up front that these are awfully good prices. They should be taken advantage of by producers. Is that for corn, soybeans, and potentially wheat at this point as well?
Yes, I think corn and soybeans. We tried to get those sales on last fall with the wheat and get some calls on. But if you didn't, I think there will be some opportunities here to get that done.
And everybody in agreement on that, that this is a place that you really need to step in again? And if so, how much are you willing to go on new crop, and where do you think you ought to be on old crop for both corn and beans?
Well, I want to be 30% or more sold on new crop and another 30 to 40% covered on new crop, just because of the acreage potential difference on corn. On beans, I'm not as worried about because of the lesser acreage problem. But if you look at a 50-cent drop in corn times 150 bushels, that's $75 an acre. If you look at a dollar, that's $150 an acre. If we would all of a sudden grow 12 million acres of corn more and go back to $2 and have a $2 less, that's $340 an acre. So the downside risk needs to be protected.
You know, we believe that you need to take advantage of these prices right now. We're about 20% sold on both corn and soybeans. We feel that seasonality, the market has a tendency to start to strengthen here after this mid-February midpoint. And then, you know, we're going to look at into the spring months to be aggressive sellers of both corn and soybeans.
You know, the marketplace seems to me that it has decided that a 10 million or 12 million extra acres of corn is not really going to happen. They've settled on what USDA, I think, has put out, something in that closer to the 8 million acres. Is that enough? How tight does that make supply by the time we get to the end of next year?
Is it enough? No, it's probably not enough. Have they decided on that number? I'm not sure, Todd. I think the market's still pretty confused on this acreage thing. These baseline projections that were out this year, I just went back to last year's, or this week, excuse me, I just went back to last year's to kind of compare. They were showing a 1.5 billion carryout in the 06 baseline projections for 07, 08. So, you know, that's kind of that's somebody's estimate out there, somebody's projection. It doesn't have a lot of basis to it at this point.
Yeah, and it used old information. It didn't use any updated information. So, you know, people looked at that as a day or two later as bullish because it was using higher production numbers than we actually had for this year. But again, it's an estimate 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, 3 years down the road, instead of where we're at now. So I think where we're at now is the volatility up and down, and we have to have something set to trap those high prices.
Are you concerned at all on the soybean market that harvest in South America, Bridget, will creep into the market in Chicago and really start to put pressure onto that marketplace?
I think here in the short term it will put some, you know, limited pressure. But we're also hearing some reports of, you know, excess moisture, excess rains down in South America that's causing a little bit of harvest delays. And that, you know, that's a little bit supportive here in the short term.
Hmm. And then what are your feelings at this point in Bloomington at AgriVisor about crop insurance and the way farmers might take advantage of that if they do? Have you had many discussions, or do you stick with the cash and futures side primarily?
Primarily we stick, you know, cash and futures. I know Dan does talk a little bit with the insurance end of it.
I handle the crop insurance too, and I mean, it looks to me like it's a, you know, I hate to say a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but it's a possibility that it is. But it's certainly a rare opportunity that a producer has. And I heard Wayne Nelson on here say that it's still the same amount of bushels that you're paying for the premium. I think that's an excellent way to look at it.
Yeah, the premium per acre is a big number, but when you look at what that is, $4 corn times the same number of bushels pays for that acreage or whatever. And where can you get a guarantee of $600 an acre that you're going to get from your crop or whatever your specific is? It's huge compared to what it used to be. And I would have everybody at least look at it for a guarantee of actual dollars per acre that they are guaranteed on that acre of corn.
Speaking of the actual dollars per acre and the premiums, I made note on Friday that FarmDoc website has now been updated. And while the numbers aren't finalized, because USDA won't have them out until March 1, that website that you can use as a premium calculator and take a look at what your payments might be and what the payouts could be on crop insurance are available. It's at the FarmDoc website. The address there is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. That's farmdoc.uiuc.edu.
The averages, Todd, so far through to Friday are like $3.98 on the corn and $7.98 on the beans. So we're real close to those magic numbers for the crop insurance.
Is $3.98, is that going to really push guys to think about more corn acres, do you think?
There seems to be a lot of excitement out there to me.
I mean, at this late date, will that kind of price, when they can insure it, will that push them to make a change or to add more acres, do you think? Or were those decisions already done?
I think those decisions are done unless the guy decided not to increase very much, and now he might be looking at, okay, if we have a good spring, a good planting time, maybe then he will increase those more. But I think right now it's going to be springtime planting that will continue either to have the change already made or add to it.
I've had several customers within the last couple of weeks change their information they'd given me as far as acres. Now, as Pete said, that was people who hadn't really made a big increase in corn acres before.
Take a look at the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange. And live cattle finished the February contract at $94.75 on the top for the week. The low at $92.75 and their settlement price 70 cents higher at $93.90 a hundredweight. The March feeder cattle at $100.17.5 were up $1.40. April lean hogs, this is your new lead option now, $69.45 on the high side for the lead. The low at $65.25. April takes over from the March, gaining $2.22.5 at $68.50 on the settlement price. And the bellies finished at $101.52.5 and they were up $1.25 from last week. And when you take a look at the livestock market, has there been, and we've asked this several times over the last month, but has there been any rationing that you can see from the livestock side? Have they begun to cut herds either on the hogs or the cattle, or are the chicken and poultry numbers down? What do you see?
Well, the chicken and poultry numbers are down the 2-3%. But if you talk to a hog producer, and I've talked to three or four of them today, they can still make money at these prices because the hog prices continue to go up. And that, I think, is the key. The hog prices have kept pace or even went further than the corn prices.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Old Man Winter made another major appearance in Illinois this week. A major winter storm brought more snow, freezing rain, and sleet to the state, capped off with blizzard conditions across much of central Illinois. Temperatures this week averaged well below normal, although just prior to the storm on Monday, temperatures across much of the state finally rose above freezing for the first time in almost 2 weeks. However, the warm-up, if you want to call it that, didn't last long. More Arctic air was drawn into Illinois behind the snowstorm on Tuesday and Wednesday. Sub-zero temperatures were widespread over the snow-covered areas of Illinois on Thursday morning, and the mercury struggled to reach the mid-teens despite sunny skies. The latest storm bumped February precipitation totals to well above normal across most of Illinois. Areas that received heavy snow had over an inch of liquid equivalent, while to the south, heavy rain added to the precipitation totals for the month. The cold weather will hang on until early next week, when some moderation will occur ahead of another potential storm. A low-pressure system moving into the Ohio Valley could bring another round of precipitation to the southern half of Illinois early in the week. How much is wet and how much is white will depend on a number of factors, including the final path of the low. If it is far enough south, it could have minimal impact on Illinois. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week on WILL Urbana. This is the broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The folks in studio with us include Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And Joe Victor of Allendale joins us from McHenry, Illinois, for the second half of the program. Hi, Joe.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me, as you take a look at the marketplace in this past week, what was the most extraordinary thing that happened? Was it the rally on Friday based off the NOAA numbers? Was it the releases that came out of USDA in Washington earlier in the week?
Well, we really don't give much credence to the 15-year projections. We've done studies before that really do not show much of a correlation between those 15-year baseline projections and even the May report, and needless to say, even the USDA Outlook report or the conference going to be held on March 1st and 2nd versus the May report. So we really don't give that too much credence. Probably the biggest surprise, twofold today. Number one, NOAA suggesting La Nina coming in April, and of course, our position is we're not ready to make any key financial decisions based on a one-day issuance by NOAA. If we see the model reappear within a period of a week to 2 weeks, then we become more serious about it. And, of course, the second big event of today that really gave some legs underneath the wheat is talk of some of the potential for a major feedlot in Texas that has switched over from corn to feeding feed wheat, getting those bins cleaned out in front of the 2007 harvest.
Joe, what would you be doing and then in your wheat area or the corn area to protect these nicer prices?
Well, as far as the new crop is concerned, we are, you know, we always have been scale-up hedgers, and we believe based on our price projections for December corn, you know, we're right there. The conference that we held on January 20th, it's suggesting right at about a 420 to 425 top for December corn. That's why we want to hedge at 418. But as far as covering those hedges, we believe that we're looking for a fairly decent price break going into the May-June time frame. That's where we'll go ahead and attach calls to it, because the thing that we fear the most is when we start going through the day-to-day activity through the summer, getting closer to pollination, it's only going to take one or two TV stations to throw out a U.S. drought monitor map and scare every investor to come back into the market and blow this thing up. But as far as the wheat, the same thing. I mean, our July price projections, I agree wholeheartedly with Bridget. I think, you know, we've got essentially, I think, 65% of our old crop wheat still in the bin, and we're suggesting we get close to $5 on this potential rally coming in. We're going to go ahead and start moving the balance of the old crop wheat. And for new crop, we are... bear with me here just a second. With the new crop hedges, we are at this point 50% hedged, 478 versus the July. And there again, we're going to want to go ahead and make sure that when we do see a correction in the July wheat, figuring in about the late February, early April time frame, then we'll go ahead and buy calls. And again, that'll be against the July. The old crop corn right now, we do have 270 May calls against it, 85% hedged, and really have no reason, based on the studies that we've done, being very patient on old crop. We feel that in a normal type year, it's that March-April time frame when you start making your cash sales. In short stock years, like we're getting into now, that could even push out as far as July.
What would your best estimate be then, Joe, as far as looking at that first supply and demand in May for the 07 crop? What kind of carryout do you think we're going to be looking at in that report as far as your best guess?
From USDA standpoint, we feel that they're going to probably be within a 500 to 700 million bushel end stock. That's going to give you a season average farm price pretty close to $4. Our own estimates are suggesting 346 million bushel with a season average farm price of 450. And I can tell you that we're not extremely bullish on the ethanol. You know, we've heard some ridiculous numbers out there, but we're looking at a 2.15, and I should add, the first 3 months of data that's been released by the Energy Information Administration about the ethanol demand, we're running about 8% behind the eight ball. And at 2.15, we're looking for 3.1 billion bushels of ethanol or corn to be used for ethanol in 07-08. But USDA, again, probably something more safe in a 500 to 700 million bushel end stocks estimate.
I'm wondering, when you look at these commodities, corn, soybeans, and wheat, which one do you feel has the greatest downside risk going into these spring months?
Well, probably wheat, Bridget, and not only necessarily for the, you know, we're looking for 3.8 million acres that were added in the winter seedings. We agree with you. We don't see much wheat being tore up in the United States. But the other thing that we have to give respect to is that this is a global marketplace. You know, we have seen the response throughout the world that with these kind of attractive prices, we see wheat responding for more acres going in globally, and at the same time, we also have to respect the fact that it is a fairly decent demand-driven market, so it's not like we're going to see stocks cured overnight, either for wheat or corn, but the last thing that we remind ourselves is every month of the year, there is a major supplier of wheat out there harvesting a crop of wheat, with the exception of the month of February.
I'd like to go back very quickly to an answer here. You suggested a 450 cash price for corn?
The season average farm price, yeah. The season average farm price at 450 based on 346 million end stocks. If we have a good year, we can push up to 155, an excellent year at 173 bushel an acre, you're looking at 1.25 with a season average farm price at 255. At a 155 yield, end stocks at 560, and that'll get you a 375 season average farm price.
On what acreage?
On which one, Todd?
Corn.
On the corn acres, 8.6 million more acres. You're looking at 87 million planted, 79.09 harvested, and the 346 is coming off a 149.8 yield estimate by Allendale. So we're looking at total production right at about 11.8. Total demand coming in at 12.355. Our exports are 2.1, which is just a little bit less than what we're dealing with right now.
Did you shrink demand on anything?
A little bit on feed. You know, a little bit for the cattle sector. We're looking at, feed usage right at about 5.75 billion bushel versus 06 at 5.85.
And then what are you putting in as potential top in the marketplace on the futures side?
On the futures side, again, you're looking at from the December futures alone, you're looking at, $4, I believe, gets a lot of it. But with the extremes of going into a weather scenario, you know, 450 to 475 is not to be ruled out.
So as you look down the road, how long do you see us getting to the point before we can get out of this tight corn situation that we're in? Is it a one-year deal, two-year deal?
Well, I think there's a couple of outside forces that we definitely respect, number one being the crude oil market. If we see crude oil going back up to $80, you're going to see ethanol plants starting to gear back up, becoming a little bit more efficient in their capacity utilization. The other thing that we have to definitely have to look at, and that is, you know, the fact that we're writing a brand new farm bill this year. $1.6 billion may not seem like a lot dedicated to the cellulosic research, but But also, we have to be aware that outside of the USDA arena, you've got private oil companies that are also looking at more so going in towards the cellulosic research as opposed to, and cellulosic ethanol facilities as opposed to using grain. And that is something, to answer your initial question, is it a year? More likely, when you look at the CRP acres, and this we trust a little bit more as the baseline projections, it's that 2009 time frame when we reach the bottom of how many acres will be in CRP. It also, when you look at the Department of Energy gasoline usage and how much ethanol that we need, which is a little bit over 10 billion gallons of ethanol, that's also we see where the peak acres dedicated to ethanol is a little bit over 25 million acres. And that, again, is if all of the ethanol is supplied by corn. So what are we looking for? At least, you know, a very volatile 2007 and fairly well into 2008.
What do your numbers look like for soybeans?
This is ridiculous. Ridiculous from the standpoint that for the first time in history, we're looking at end stocks on soybeans to be higher than corn stocks at 461 million bushel, 69.5 million acres planted, a 42 bushel, average bushel per acre. Production coming in at 2.87, the total supply at 3.4, our crush at 1.7, which is virtually 1.78, which is unchanged from 2006 estimates, and exports at a billion, which we are pretty close to right now. So our total end stocks at 461, a season average farm price of 675. And, you know, I agree with what the other gentleman said, is that, you know, fundamentally, there's no reason for beans to be here other than the fact that we're not trying to lose any more acres for soybeans. And when you look at the kind of crops that are coming out of Brazil and Argentina, and gee whiz, don't be forgetting about Uruguay and Paraguay. Paraguay said that they've got 6 million tons, record production, and virtually all of it ready for export. So there is pressure out there, but you know, just for the fact, again, that this perception that we're using huge amounts of soybeans for biodiesel is just not the case. 240 million bushels used for biodiesel in 2006. Direct talks with USDA, the person that's responsible for trying to figure out soybean use for fuel, 480 million in 2007, and the number is unchanged, his projection for 2008.
Joe, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, and have a great weekend, folks.
You too. Joe Victor is with Allendale, where he's the Director of Marketing. He's in McHenry, Illinois. Now, a final word from our panelists, and we'll start with you, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
Well, be careful out there in this wild winter weather we're having in the Midwest. And if you need some help with anything, visit with your people that you deal with and try to get traps under these high prices.
Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing.
Yeah, it may not seem like it with this week's weather, but 2 months from now we're going to be planting. During that time, you've got the opportunity to get things set up, get your tools lined up, be ready to go so that you can relax and get your planting done.
And Bridget Chenoweth with AgriVisor.
I think we're going to keep and hold into this volatile market going into the spring months, and I think it's important for you to get your marketing plan put in place and stick to it.
We appreciate everybody joining us here on Commodity Week. Thanks, and that's this edition.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.